This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Happy 2022, Bill. And as we begin this new year, I'd like to get your perspective on what you see ahead.
Well, at the moment, it does look like it should be a better profitability year for dairy producers, but that's always contingent on the weather. Right at the moment, we are looking at a much better income over feed to help offset some of these other costs that are rapidly rising for dairy producers out there. Whenever we look at the dairy margin coverage program, we're looking at, based on futures prices from middle of last week, they were, for the most part, above that $9.50 maximum coverage level that we had. In fact, we only had one month, the month of May, that was below that. But that was showing some very strong dairy prices there to end our year. So you're always a little bit nervous. So it is one of those things, especially with the changes for dairy producers with eligible milk still underneath that 5 million pound level, to be sure to go check with their farm service agency office there in their local area.
Tuesday.
Building an effective team takes time, and it starts with effective selection and hiring.
Be as broad as you can. I know we used to always say put an ad in the paper, but that seems a lot harder now. So again, use the tools that are working in today's world. References, you know, info from your friends and family, that's kind of the best. Neighbors, friends in groups, church, you know, wherever you can, you want to talk about your business because that next kid could be your best employee. There's also a variety of programs out there where you can get interns, you can get TNs, you can get EB3s. Takes a little bit more work, but those are something to look into and consider, especially if you want, you know, a good long-term employee.
Wednesday.
When we look at the way that we design ventilation systems today, we have a certain set of parameters, and those parameters guide our decision. Interestingly enough, these parameters were made in the 60s and 70s, so they are decades old. And when I look at our industry and I see how rapidly the technology is advancing, but yet the design parameter recommendations have not changed, I see kind of a disconnect there. And I think to myself, we have this new technology, even in the last 10 years, that is far better than what we had even 10 years ago, but yet we don't necessarily use that technology to its max because we keep applying the same old design parameter.
Thursday.
A landmark decision has found Canada in violation of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement over tariff rate quotas. Joining us with an update from our nation's capital is Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation. And Chris, a good start to the new year for the U.S. dairy industry after this landmark decision.
Well, maybe we can consider this a belated Christmas present, Bill, but here in the first week of January, we received great news that a panel looking into the dairy trade between the U.S. and Canada found in favor of America's dairy farmers and ruled that Canada was violating the terms of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement by restricting our ability to export some of our dairy products there. So this is something that we had worked on with the U.S. government, first the Trump administration back in 2020, and later last year with the Biden administration, asking them to take action so that Canada does not evade its market access commitments under USMCA. And a dispute settlement panel announced this week that they found in favor of the U.S.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is the impact of metabolizable protein in early lactation cows. This research was conducted at the Mitre Institute under the leadership of Drs. Rick Grant and Sarah Morris and was published in the December 2021 Journal of Dairy Science. 100 multiparous cows with second or greater lactations, and they looked at a couple different strategies. In the first 3 weeks, they looked at either the high or the low protein diet, and then at weeks 4 to 13, they varied different combinations to see how cows would respond, what changes would occur in milk production, dry matter intakes, and performance on these cows. Interesting and perhaps surprising to me, there was no difference in dry matter intake during this 13-week period, regardless of the protein level, and that was right around 60 pounds of dry matter these cows were consuming. No effects on metabolic disorders or diseases as well. But, of course, there was higher protein losses from the body when we were feeding the lower protein diets.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.